We mentioned Defense Secretary Robert Gates. He begins his day in Egypt, as does Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice. They'll be talking about an arms deal that they're sure to discuss just about every step of the way on a trip through the Middle East this week. Plans call for the United States to provide billions of dollars in military sales and assistance to Egypt and Israel and Saudi Arabia and other allies in the Gulf region. There are questions as to what's behind this move and what the United States would gain. NPR National Security Correspondent Jackie Northam reports.
The U.S. has had close political and military relationships with the regimes in the Persian Gulf states for years. Close ties with Saudi Arabia go back decades. The relationship with other regional nations was ramped up after the first Gulf War. Their militaries are overwhelmingly built around U.S. equipment and know-how, and there are huge U.S. bases in countries such as Kuwait, Qatar, and Bahrain. Given that, it's not surprising that there would be more U.S. arms sales to those allies. But Michelle Flournoy, the president of the Center for New American Security, says it's the context and the timing of this deal that's different.
It comes at a time when Sunni and Shia tensions in the region are higher than they've been in years. It comes at a time when the U.S. is in the midst of a war where it's having trouble getting the support it needs from its regional allies.
The proposed deal includes $30 billion of military aid for Israel over the next decade, while Egypt will get $13 billion as part of the broader package. There are no specific details about the military deal for Saudi Arabia and the Gulf states. Nicholas Burns, the Undersecretary of State for Political Affairs, says negotiations are still underway. The package for Saudi Arabia is expected to include upgrades for its fighter jets, new naval vessels, and precision-guided bombs. The deal comes at a time of increasing U.S. frustration that Saudi Arabia and other countries in the region are undermining progress in Iraq. Even so, Burns says the U.S. will not formally insist on assurances that the meddling will stop.
But it stands to reason that given the fact that Iraq is the number one American foreign policy interest globally, we would want our friends in the region to be supportive not only of what the United States is doing in Iraq, but of the Iraqi government itself.
But Flournoy says there is enormous fear among Sunni nations, such as Saudi Arabia, about Iran's ascendancy, and that the Iraqi government, under Shiite Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki, is seen as heavily influenced by Tehran. Flournoy says Saudi Arabia and other Sunni nations feel compelled to intervene.
Saudi Arabia certainly doesn't want to support a government that is exclusively Shia or not giving adequate protections to the Sunnis in Iraq, but neither does it want Iraq to become so destabilized that it becomes a regional war or causes greater regional instability.
James Russell, with a Naval Postgraduate School in Monterey, argues that meddling in Iraq by regional states is a logical response to the deteriorating situation in Iraq. He says they're hedging their bets for the date the U.S. pulls out. Russell says the arms deal could help reassure U.S. allies in the region.
The arms sales package, of course, is one step the United States is taking to restore the confidence that the regimes, the regional states that have historically been friendly with us, that we will remain with them and that we will remain committed to regional security and stability.
The weapons deal is seen in part as a way to curtail attempts by Iran to expand its own strategic goals in the region. But Iranian hardliners may see the move as further justification for a nuclear weapons program, says John Alterman with the Center for Strategic and International Studies.
They're surrounded by states with increasingly powerful arsenals, that a nuclear deterrent, an unconventional deterrent, is increasingly the only way to defend the country. And some people will see this as a reason to go ahead even faster. Others will argue that this is a reason to negotiate, to be more cautious, that the U.S. is not going away.
The final weapons deal is due to be formally presented to Congress in September. Jackie Northam, NPR News, Washington.